this week, get a big headline from all over the place. I'll just cite the New York Times. Oath Keepers leader is sentenced to 18 years in January 6th sedition case. Did you hear that? Sedition was involved. He is 57-year-old Stuart Rhodes. He's going to be serving 18 years in prison. That means he'll get out at the ripe old age of 75. He was not at the Capitol building, did not commit an act of violence, and he's been given the longest sentence yet for January 6th. For more on this, I want to bring in Julie Kelly. She's a senior contributor to American Greatness, the author of How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right, and she joins us now. Hello, Julie.
Hey, Vince. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'd like to know more about this. How did Stuart Rhodes, again, the head of the Oath Keepers, end up with an 18-year sentence, and he wasn't even at the Capitol building? And the Oath Keepers, to my knowledge, didn't even have weapons.
They didn't. So just to back up a little bit, after D.C. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, a Biden appointee, took over the D.C. U.S. Attorney's office in late 2021, Merrick Garland in the Attorney General's office was under a lot of fire because they had not brought serious insurrectionist charges against January 6ers. So in January of 2022, Matthew Graves brought this extremely rare charge of seditious conspiracy. It is a Civil War era statute that was an option to treason to punish those who were supporting the Confederacy. It's an extremely rare charge, Vince. The people who have been convicted of seditious conspiracy include the blind sheikh, who was responsible for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing that killed 6 people and injured 1,000. But this is how they bring this charge to satisfy the left and those who want more serious charges against January 6ers. So Stuart Rhodes was arrested in January 2022. Matthew Graves indicted several Oath Keepers and members of the Proud Boys for seditious conspiracy. A D.C. jury last November 2022, convicted Stuart Rhodes and another man, Kelly Meggs, of this extremely rare charge. Sentenced this week, the government, Matthew Graves' office, sought a terrorism enhancement at sentencing, and D.C. District Court Judge Amit Mehta, an Obama appointee, allowed this terrorism enhancement sentencing to go through, and that is how he ended up with 18 years in prison, comparable to murderers, rapists, et cetera, in the nation's capital.
But the idea that he led some sort of insurrection, I mean, let's just back up and talk about the Oath Keepers. The Oath Keepers are by and large military veterans, aren't they? Isn't that typically the type of person who'd be a member of the Oath Keepers?
Right. So the Oath Keepers are probably 40,000 or so members, veterans and law enforcement officials.
Yeah.
Who swore their oath to upkeep, you know, their pledge to the Constitution.
Right.
Stuart Rhodes is a loudmouth. He said a lot of crazy things before and after the election. There's no doubt about that. But it does not rise to the charge of or accusation that they were trying to overthrow the government or Congress that day.
But the predicate, the reason I'm asking. Yeah, and the reason I'm asking about their status as veterans, and you point out also as cops, is these guys would know their way around a gun, in other words. Like, they've held rifles, they've probably used them, they've trained on them.
Right.
And yet, none of the guys who identified with the Oath Keepers, who as members of the Oath Keepers, who were actually at the Capitol on January 6th, had a gun. So I just want to make the point that they're being charged, charged and convicted of sedition, which is really bizarre because, these guys who are well acquainted with firearms didn't bring any to the Capitol. So isn't that evidence against the notion that they were trying to overthrow the government?
Absolutely. And Vince, those who brought firearms, who drove from Texas, Florida, et cetera, they stayed at a hotel in Virginia. They legally brought firearms. They kept them in their hotel rooms when they went to Washington to watch Donald Trump's speech and then go to the Capitol. Worst militia ever.
Why did they keep them? Why did they keep them in their hotel rooms?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, they didn't want to violate DC's very strict handgun laws.
So in other words,
the government with no weapon.
No, but to make, I think you and I are making this point together. They didn't want to violate the law. So if you are acting in a such a way that you're honoring the law, chances are you're not trying to overthrow the government. Like it's all on its face proof of the absurdity of these charges.
It's all absurd. It's all political. And it's important for people to understand where these charges, convictions, and sentencing, the aim of all of this, it is to build a case, criminal case against Donald Trump. So in the Oath Keepers case, where you have six men who have been convicted of seditious conspiracy, you have four Proud Boys, as you and I have discussed, also convicted of seditious conspiracy last month. Special Counsel Jack Smith is going to take these convictions and these harsh, unprecedented sentences to a DC grand jury to bolster his case to bring indictments against Donald Trump for the very same charge, seditious conspiracy. This is one thing that the January 6th Select Committee, they didn't criminally make a criminal referral for seditious conspiracy, but they put in their report that DOJ should consider those charges against Donald Trump strictly because of the same charges that were brought against the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. This is the machination. This is the pathway to getting a DC grand jury indictment against Donald Trump for the very same charge, which is comparable to treason.
This Matthew Graves, is he just a bad person? I mean, what's the deal here? Because, you know, last year in D.C., he's the D.C. U.S. attorney, and he has the unusual role in D.C. of prosecuting local crimes because of D.C.'s relationship with the rest of the country. And he turned down, according to the data, 67% of all arrests last year. So the U.S. attorney for D.C. declined to prosecute 67% of the people who were handcuffed by D.C. cops last year. And yet, here he is charging people who didn't carry guns, people who weren't even at the Capitol, with sedition, seeking and then securing from a D.C. jury and a D.C. judge as much as 18 years in prison for these guys. Is he just a bad person?
Well, you know, I believe so. He was a Biden campaign advisor. He was appointed by Joe Biden, took the reins of that office in November of 2021. So he is doing the dirty work of the regime, the Biden regime, who installed him. And so to your point, Vince, the data that came out with the Washington Post is now Matthew Graves has the very unique post authorization as DC U.S. attorney to prosecute both federal and local crimes. As he is fixated on a four-hour disturbance now 29 months ago, he is letting criminals run free in Washington, D.C. He is under fire not just by Republicans in Congress, but by police officials, community leaders in Washington, D.C., because he is using all of his resources to prosecute, investigate, charge, sentence people who protested Joe Biden's election on January 6th. So, Vince, this caseload is already over 1,000 defendants. Matthew Graves told the Washington Post last year he's going to double that caseload. They are arresting and prosecuting and charging people every single week, including just yesterday. While, you know, in Washington, D.C. is descended into violent chaos every single weekend. He doesn't care. He is doing the dirty work of the Biden regime, because he wants to, you know, burnish his credentials and hopefully maybe be attorney general one day.
It's disgraceful. You know, one of the big things that he declines to prosecute in D.C., famously strict gun laws, gun possession. He doesn't prosecute gun possession. And yet
Or carjackings.
And yet, here you have people being charged with sedition for not carrying guns into the Capitol.
And furthermore, he has sought, for the first time in American history, terrorism enhancements at sentencing. So Matthew Graves issued a 183-page sentencing memo for 9 members of the Oath Keepers, 6 who were convicted by a D.C. jury, not hard to do, of seditious conspiracy. He wants terrorism enhancements for these men who were convicted. What's even worse is D.C. Judge Amit Mehta, an Obama appointee, has allowed that now. We have 2 yesterday, Stuart Rhodes and Kelly Meggs. He allowed the terrorism enhancement. Today, another person, Jessica Watkins, who is a transgender Oath Keeper, she was convicted of 2 obstruction counts and 2 counts of interfering with law enforcement. And Judge Mehta allowed the terrorism enhancement at her sentencing today. She was sentenced to 8.5 years in prison for 2 obstruction counts and 2 counts of interfering with law enforcement. That's what the D.C. U.S. attorney, probably the most powerful federal prosecutor in the country, is using his time and our resources to do.
I want to play something for you. Ron DeSantis has jumped into the race this week for president. And like Donald Trump, he suggested this week that he'd be open to pardoning the people who've been hassled because of January 6th. Take a listen to this.
I'm going to do on day one, I will have folks that will get together and look at all these cases who people are victims of weaponization or political targeting, and we will be aggressive at issuing pardons. Now, some of these cases, some people may have a technical violation of the law, but if there are 3 other people who did the same thing, but just in a context like BLM, and they don't get prosecuted at all, that is uneven application of justice.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Ron DeSantis making that point. And do you agree with that? That this is a good idea. You take a look at this and look at the individual circumstances of all of these defendants, and then render pardons for the ones who deserve them.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
There's no doubt that this is a selective political prosecution. I've been very critical of Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump for kind of slow walking or being flat-footed in condemning what this DOJ is doing. That was a nice comment by Ron DeSantis, but I listened to the interview. He never said January 6th defendants. He intentionally avoids saying January 6th defendants. So when you're talking about BLM versus 3 other people, blah, 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 this is what you're talking about. He needs to be more forceful. And I'll tell you why, Vince. Number one, the state that has the most number of defendants in the January 6th prosecution is Florida. The state that has the most residents who have been convicted of seditious conspiracy live in Florida. The Democrats and the media are going to make this an issue against Ron DeSantis. And if he does not come up with a more forceful, direct message against DOJ and the FBI for what they're doing to his own constituents, that sort of mealy-mouthed rhetoric, I don't think it's going to fly.
You know, and the reason he wouldn't utter the words January 6th is he's trying to avoid, you and I probably both know, that he's trying to avoid being cut up into a Joe Biden advertisement. Look at this guy, because Biden loves January 6th. I think it's his single favorite day in all of American history. And so what DeSantis is trying to do is avoid being put into one of these ads. You're saying just grow a pair and go at it.
Absolutely. Look, Joe Biden, in his reelection announcement, the very first clip he played was of January 6th. January 6th will be the Democrats' one of their top issues. If people who are running for president cannot confront this straight on, talk about this vengeful retaliatory prosecution by DOJ and Matthew Graves. Talk about these excessive, harsh sentences that are being handed down for political reasons. If you can't confront that head on, then you're going to have a tough time running because, Vince, as you know, this is a major issue for the base. I hear it all the time. They want anyone running for Congress, anyone running for president, certainly, to condemn exactly what this DOJ is doing, to detail the cases of what's happening to families and defendants and entire neighborhoods as the FBI raids these people's homes. They cannot keep getting away with this sort of what Ron DeSantis said yesterday, disfavored groups. That's not going to work.
All right. Julie Kelly, thank you as always for staying all over this issue. And hopefully, you know, through your words, we can make these presidential candidates better, too. Julie, thank you very much.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.